still. Chapter 2. This is a tremendously important message. I know that I haven't been able to do it justice, but I'll make up for that. I've just been kind of walking through it. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, Nehemiah says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble that we are in.'" He was talking to his brethren, those that had gathered in the ruins of Jerusalem. He said, "You see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We will no longer be a disgrace." The King James says, "a reproach." "I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, 'Let us start rebuilding.' So they began this good work." Now this that we have just read... Oh, what in the world is that? In chapter 2, follows what was in chapter 1. See, that takes brilliance to understand that. Chapter 2 comes after chapter 1. If you're reading, that helps. But chapter 1 starts off in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa. Now, that sentence puts all of this in time. That was in mid-November to mid-December, Kislev. Now, we get over into chapter 2, and we see that it's mid-March to mid-April. So 4 months has passed. What do you think Nehemiah was doing during that 4 months? He says what he was doing, because verse 1 of chapter 2 says, "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king of Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to him, I took the wine, gave it to the king, and I had not been sad in his presence before." So there was that moving in him. He had been in prayer for 4 months. He had been crying out to God for a solution to what was going on in Jerusalem. So for 4 months, he had been praying, and he prayed until God developed the answer and the solution to what was needed. You and I sometimes quit too soon. We spend a little time in prayer over something And we really don't give it time for God to develop it and to bring it to fruition. Keep praying. Keep seeking God until He answers. Now He can say yes, no, or wait. But there will be an answer if we don't give up before that answer comes. We need to, like the saints did in the time, I don't know, in the 40s, 30s, there used to be a saying around our church, you pray through. If you're going to pray through, there's something that needs to get through. And you pray until you're through it. You've made it all the way. So keep on asking until you're assured of an answer. Not necessarily the one that you're asking for, because that might not be the best thing. But God will answer you. We read on a little bit further in Nehemiah, and I just thought this was interesting, so I'm going to lay it out there for you. It's free. We've already taken up the offering. You don't have to pay anything extra. But I thought this was interesting. You read a little further, and they began the work, and they rebuilt the walls in 52 days, according to Nehemiah 6:15. So in 52 days, the walls of Jerusalem had been repaired and the gates had been replaced. That's less than 2 months. Nehemiah prayed for 4 months and the solution came in less than 2 months. God is good. They could have drugged this thing out for years. But the job was done quickly. Almost effortlessly, if you look. Oh, yeah, they worked hard moving those big rocks around. But in less than 2 months, God brought the total solution and granted everything that they had asked for. God is on the verge of doing something tremendous among us. Miss Betty bore witness to it this morning that God's going to do something great here. He's been promising for years, and I believe that if we faint not and we'll pray through it, we're going to see what He wants to do, and it's going to be tremendous. Or Satan wouldn't be fighting as bad as he is. If God wasn't going to do anything, Satan would already be moved on to another subject. But he is fighting every step of the way. Now, we've already been through a lot of this. We've been through the gate. That's what we started with. And that's kind of the theme of what we're talking about, because that's the entering in point. And you can go in or you can go out. And that's the way ministry does. We go out and spread the gospel, and then people come and receive the blessings of God. So we've talked about the gate. We've talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what it takes for ministry to flow. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're doing it in our own power, then it's carnal. And it's not going to bring a harvest. Not the harvest we want anyway. And then point three was the problem. And it pointed back to what the real problems were. They were in trouble. The walls were down. The gates were burned. They were insufficient to their enemy, and their enemy had freedom to attack, and there was no covering. So the walls had to be rebuilt. That word for trouble is raw, R-A-H. And one of the meanings of that word is inferiority to your enemies. When you don't match up, your enemies are stronger than you. And Nehemiah was saying to his people, we're in great trouble. We're inferior to our enemy. So they established a work detail. And in 52 days, the walls were repaired. The gates were replaced. They were no longer inferior to the enemy. But that brings us to point four. The pressure. If there is no gates, there is no ministry. Because the enemy has the ability to plug up, stop, hinder. He has freedom to attack. The gates are open. There's no security. Satan will hold his territory because you and I are inferior. We can't do it. Now in Christ we can. And when we have the Holy Spirit with us, surrounding us, we are more than able and we're more than conquerors through Christ. But he has demons and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And he assigns by degree all of these cohorts of his to go and disrupt, to go and hinder, to go and attack, to go and repress. Read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You'll have an understanding of it. We wrestle not against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. These beings that have assignments to cities, they rule entire cities. I've been in some. One place that Susan and I were, the main industry, one of the largest industries in that city, was a state prison. The second was an insane asylum. There was a repressiveness attached to those places. That happens. These principalities and powers, they're everywhere. The Bible says that they are. And there is only one thing that can control them, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. They are desiring to just be turned loose on our society, in our culture, around the world. But the Bible says that until he who now restrains, in the King James it says lets, which gives permission, he who now restrains, or he who now lets, until he be taken out of the way, the Antichrist cannot come. In other words, there's a restriction, there's a restraining, not only on the Antichrist, but on Satan himself. Now, I believe the church is let down on this. I believe that we have opened the door and let the principalities and the powers gain a little bit more than just a foothold. Our gates are burned and our walls are down. But we know how to put them back up, and we know what it's going to take. When we move within the power of the Holy Spirit, they are restrained. But even more than restrained, they are pushed back. And the territory that he had gained, he loses. And we gain it. You and I must know that for the power of the Holy Spirit to have freedom to operate in this land, in this city, in this area, in this land, there must be a gate through which God can move and pour himself through. You and I can become that gate. No, not can. We must become that gate through which God can pour himself on those that are hurting. We need to be that vessel that's in his hands. You and I need to be that instrument that he can use to touch hearts and lives all through this community, but even further than that, through this state. When we become that vessel, that instrument, that gate, through which God can pour himself, we are no longer inferior to the enemy. We are superior. We take his territory. And that's one thing that's happening in Halloween. We are taking the enemy's territory. We sing the song, we marched in the enemy camp and took back what he had stole from us. It's time that we do exactly that. And we become that agent that God uses by the Holy Spirit. Look back in history. There's moments that picture in your mind because it tells the whole story. Adolf Hitler. And I know that some of you wasn't around when he... Some of you were... Well, anyway. Some of you are old enough to remember him. Adolf Hitler stood before the General Council, General Assembly in Berlin, Germany, when he assumed rulership over that Christian nation. Do you realize that Germany was one of the Christian hubs of the world at that time? Great men of God were in Germany. They had huge churches. They literally was moving in the power of God. But they were duped. And suddenly this maniac becomes a ruler. He made this declaration. Standing before the General Assembly, he said, "Let the weak be governed by the strong." That statement has not changed even to this day. When our gates are down and our walls are broken, we become the weak. But when the Holy Spirit is infusing us, we become the strong. The only way that we're going to rule, the only way that we're going to push him back, the only way that something tremendous takes place in this church is if we start moving in and through the power of the Holy Spirit so that God has a gate, an avenue to pour himself through. He will pour himself through the Spirit that dwells in you. He says, Jesus says, you will be endued with power. after which the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The only way that we get that power is when we lay before God until He literally infuses us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and my spirit become one spirit. And then God has the freedom to move and pour Himself through me and touch other people. Adolf Hitler and his Nazi occultism proved more powerful than the church that was in Germany. Took control of that mighty nation. They were inferior to their enemy. And the rest is history. You can read about it. 6 million Jews, the people of God, murdered, slaughtered. But that doesn't even take into account the number of Christians. The churches were taken over and they were turned into places of hell. Literally. The Nazi party would meet in the churches and they used that as a stronghold. When you and I do not have the power of God in operation in us, the devil will control the affairs of men that are around us or people that are around us. We cease to be that restraining power. We cease to be what God has ordained that we be. This church has been planted on this piece of property, and we have been shown favor because we've acquired that piece of property and then that piece of property and that property up there so that we could become a hub and a center of strength in this neighborhood, in this area of this city. We have been ordained of God to become mighty so that the devil does not have control anymore. How do we control? How do we move? We show our love. The disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus? John had sent them and said, are you the one? Are you the real Messiah? And Jesus said, go back and tell John what you see, that eyes have been opened, that the lame walk, that bodies are healed, that the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's how we will excel. That's how God pours Himself through us, that we touch the neighborhood and the people that we come in contact with, that when they walk away, their lives are better. They are healed and they are touched and they're moved, and those that were lost are saved. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 said, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Verse 6 it says, and the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. You and I have been put here to combat these kind of things. There's probably not a family sitting in this auditorium right now that someone in your family that has not been affected or held captive by the powers of darkness. I've prayed with so many of you over a child that's using drugs or alcohol or running wild. I've prayed with some of you who have parents that are alcoholics or even worse. So many of you have been touched. Your families have been touched. Because there's no restraining hand. If this is not true, why do we have all the empty seats? If this was really where the power of Jesus ran rampant, this place would be packed. You couldn't get anybody else in it. Those men and women that are hurting, that are bound, those men and women who are sick, they're in darkness, they would give anything to be out of that darkness. You look at the money that's spent on pills to get rid of depression or to lift us up and speed us along. Or the clinics. There's billions and billions of dollars spent. People are trying to find a way out. They want the truth. They're hungry. We have group after group after group that come and sign up, and they'll stay till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, just so that they can go through. Because they're hungry for an answer. And the prayer room is flooded. I don't know how many times over the last few nights even, you hear over the radio, we need help in the prayer room. We're just overrun. Somebody come and help us. And we need extra people praying. People are wanting salvation. They're wanting help. I've got a family member that needs help. I need help. My wife, my husband needs help. It's not getting any better, folks. I don't know if you've noticed the changes over the last 20 years. It makes me scratch my head. And sometimes it makes me cry. Because this is a different world than when I came in the ministry 40 years ago. Even whenever I moved up here 24 years ago. It's a whole different atmosphere, different world. And it's waxing worse and worse. But that's what God said was going to happen. But we can still be that restraining hand against the hand of the enemy. Drugs and sexual activities are invading down to the primary grades. We're talking about second grade, third grade. Our world, our nation, our state, our city is in distress. And I'm crying out like Nehemiah. You see the shape we're in. We're in terrible shape. But I got some good news for you. Inside of you and me exists the kingdom of God. When you yield to Jesus and He comes to live in your heart, and every one of us ask Him to, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, and make me a new person. The moment that that takes place, the kingdom of God is in our hearts. Remember what Jesus said to the rulers of the synagogue and his disciples that were standing there. He says, this day has the kingdom of God come to you. He was talking about himself. He is the carrier of the kingdom of God. When he comes into your heart, the kingdom of God comes into your life, into your heart. But that kingdom power has to be released, or it just sits there. What good is the kingdom of God if it just sits there? It has to be released. And the only one that can release it's you and me. Jesus walked this earth, and he walked the dusty roads of Israel, Judah, Galilee. And he came up against those who were demon-possessed and those who were blind and those who were deaf. And he healed them. He set people free. Everywhere the kingdom of God bumped up against the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God won. Every time. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said. If he did it then, he'll do it now. But we have to release that power. And it flows through us. Because God's not inferior. God is not inferior. You and I are in the flesh. But when the kingdom of God lives within us, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am made more than a conqueror through Christ whose strength infuses me. We have the kingdom right here. Unless the gates in this city through which God can pour himself is opened wide, nothing's going to flow. You and I are the gate. Every child of God who lives in this city will be under distress unless we make a difference. Oh, we're not the only ones. There's a lot of other churches. And this same message changed a little bit, because it's delivered through individuals and God moves through those individuals. But this kind of message is going out all over this area. I've talked to church after church that are on the same theme, going in the same direction. If you and I cannot get the host of heaven moving through us, those ministering spirits of God flowing through us into our city, then we are going to be inferior to the enemy. Daniel 10 talks about the struggle between the devil's host and God's host, or the Lord's hosts. It took 2 weeks for the angel to make it through. He had to call for backup. You and I face a worthy adversary, but not one that cannot be defeated. Because if one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. 10,000 what? Enemy. And if we'll all get together, son. Satan's one objective. Jesus nailed it to the wall. Satan's one objective is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll do whatever it takes to do that. You and I must have the presence of God flowing in us, into this city, into this area, wherever we go. Or those demon spirits alive in the flesh will keep on running over our children and our city, heaping ridicule on men and women who are just professing a form of godliness, but having the power of the Holy Spirit means that we have to release it. If we don't release it, then it does no good just sitting inside of you. You can jump up and say, I've got the Holy Spirit. Okay, what are you doing with it? What is it doing with you? And maybe we don't need to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to have us. Look at that person sitting next to you and say, the Holy Spirit needs to have you. Get the point? You know, I'm tired of us having to ask permission to pray or hold church events in various places, hearing about the laws that prohibit. I remember I was asked, the World Champion Rodeo was taking place in Arcadia, and they asked me if I would do the invocation. And I said, yes, I'd be happy to. And the guy that was going to be introducing me, he said, now, don't pray in the name of Jesus. You might offend somebody. I said, I will. I'll offend Satan. If you don't want the name of Jesus invoked, you better get somebody else real quick, because I'm praying in the name of Jesus. And he said, well, I just had to tell you that so that I could always say, well, I told him. I didn't speak in tongues, but I came close. Them cowboys would have fell off the horses, I think. No, there was a lot of them that afterward, they came over to me and said, preacher, that was wonderful. Thank you. Satan is trying to regulate us right out of business. The government is saying, it's okay for you to be religious, but keep it inside the walls. No! Jesus said, take it everywhere and be witnesses to all the people. That's what I want us to do. I'm almost through. I know that I'm 11 minutes over, but that's okay. Just grin and bear it. I'm here to say something, and I want you to hear what I'm saying. Birthed in your heart is the kingdom of God. You remember when Elijah was on the hill overlooking the oak, and he was facing off with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. And there'd just been 450 of them killed, because God rained down fire and accepted his sacrifice, but not the other sacrifices. And suddenly it was time to turn the water back on after 3.5 years. I don't know. Maybe the handle was rusty. I don't know. But it was going to take some effort. And it said that Elijah bowed himself down and put his head between his knees. That is the posture that a woman would get in to have birth. That was a birthing posture where you squatted down and bent over because it was easier to push. Elijah was saying, we're going to birth something here. And it was being birthed by prayer. Birthed within our hearts, and it'll only come through prayer, is the kingdom of God. And if God can break through you and me, He can release His kingdom all over this area. Every force of darkness will be driven back out of this city, out of this nation. America is not deemed, appointed by God to become a post-Christian nation. That word post means after. God never intended that America go beyond Christianity into paganism. But you better watch, because it's on our doorstep. The time is not very far away that you can be killed for carrying a Bible. Hear me. That time is coming. The Bible says it is. I don't know how to get rid of that. Go in the name of Jesus. The time is coming. And if we wait too late, then it's too late. We don't need laws to allow us to pray. We have the freedom to pray wherever we want. That is a God-given freedom. And He says when the Holy Spirit's on you, you'll go everywhere being a witness to Him. One of the ways you're going to witness of Jesus is to just let her fly. You having a hard time checking out in the grocery store? You just stand there and raise your hands and start praying at the top of your lungs and speaking in tongues. They'll get out your way. You'll be next up to the cash register. You and I need to stand up and become that channel for God to move in this area. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says that the earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it. Everything that's in it. You and I are not squatters. We're rightful owners. The devil's the squatter. And he's the one that needs to be evicted. Not us. But there's intimidation. And Christians are being intimidated in such a way that we keep our mouths shut. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to offend anybody. How are you going to offend the devil? He isn't offensive. God does not want me and you to be afraid of anybody. And He doesn't want you or me to have to beg to be able to pray, to say the name of Jesus, to call upon God. The kingdom of God is here. We just need to release it. There's no other way. There's no other answer. And I close with this thought. It was the devil who started this misery. God never intended that me and you be intimidated by him or anyone else. If we can pour enough of God's power through us into this community and into this area, through this church, it will It will, capital W-I-L-L, it will bring a restraint on the forces of evil and we'll push them back. We are here. First Assembly of God, as John likes to say, First Assembly of God on Edward Street. Said, I want to make sure that God knows where we are. So when he prays for First Assembly of God on Edward Street. We are here not to just be another church. This church, this city has a lot of churches. We're not just another one falling in line. You and I are here. This church is here to be a gateway through which God can pour himself on men and women who are hurting, and they can find relief. I'll never forget praying with a lady, and I had my hands on each side of her head. And whenever I finished praying, she looked at me and she said, for the first time in 10 years, I have peace. I have peace in my mind and I have peace in my heart. That's what God has put us here for. Bow your heads with me, would you please?